any of us, and all of us, have, assuming we work in relationship to someone around us, and whether it's customers or colleagues or vendors, have the ability to influence those around us. And the first thing, especially in a more toxic kind of place, is to not engage in the negative. I mean, don't join in to the cynicism, the sarcasm, the complaining and grumbling, the cutting remarks, the gossip. Just remove yourself. Sometimes it's helpful to just sort of walk away silently. You don't have to put people down, you know, but just don't engage in that so that you're not fueling that negative energy. So that's the first. That's helpful, but that doesn't necessarily turn things around because people can continue to do that. So the second is what? It's to engage in positive comments and interactions. And so that can be saying thanks to a colleague for doing something for you or with you or the quality of job they did. But sometimes if there's a lot of negativity going on, you're sort of looking for what, you know, is there something positive I can say? Sometimes it's just like, wow, what a beautiful day. I'm just loving the blue sky out there. Or, you know, isn't it cool how we have safe water to drink and we have, you know, access to medicine and so forth. Let's say if you just got, you know, over a cold or being sick. So sometimes we've got to really help sort of turn people's vision away from all this negativity and say, yeah, there are things to be thankful about. And just obviously these things are mentioned in scripture all over the place. And I just want to mention that both of our books, Dr. Chapman and I didn't write it from an overtly Christian perspective on purpose, even though we obviously come at it from a biblical worldview of people have value just because we are God's creations. But we wanted the materials to be able to be used in settings where, you know, Bible verses wouldn't be accepted. And so fortunately, we've been used in public schools, in hospitals, in the military, in various government settings, and, you know, numerous private sector settings. So it's not that we don't believe in the truth of the word. In fact, you know, that's the basis of everything. But we just felt like it would be more receptive by people who and organizations that don't share that with us.
You know, I'm wondering if we just take a few minutes to talk about the five love languages of appreciation. I mean, we, you know, familiar with Dr. Chapman's work, and you've, you know, co-written this with him, but maybe just to give some tangibles, some examples. Here's, if you know, your love language is this, or somebody, you know, find out what it is, and here's how you can show appreciation. Why don't we go through those?
Sure. So the most common language of appreciation in the workplace is words of affirmation, and it's about 45% of the workforce out of the 100,000 people that we've had take the inventory. And probably the simplest way to think about that is that people like to hear that they've done a good job. But lots of times we actually miss the boat because we're too vague. And one survey we gave, people said a phrase I don't like to hear is good job because it's so generic. And one worker told me, they wouldn't know if I did a good job or not because they don't know what I do, you know. And so the way to give an effective compliment is to first of all use the person's name. We like to hear our name. If you're writing it, make sure you spell their name correctly because there's a lot of different ways to spell names today. So it could be Michelle, and then you tell specifically something that you value or appreciate that they've done. Michelle, thank you for getting your report to me on time and so that I can, you know, use it. And the third part of that is why it's important that she did that. And it's either important to you or important to the organization or your customers. Michelle, thank you for getting your report to me done and on time. That way I can turn my report around in time without being super pressured and get that to my supervisor as well. So use your name, use the person's name, give a specific, and then why that action's important. Time, quality time in the workplace can take a couple different forms. One, some people really do value time with their manager or supervisor, and either to be able to share observations and give input or to be able to get some instruction and help. But I've had some people say, I don't like individual time with my supervisor. They're pretty intense, and I'm sort of shy. But the kind of time I like is hanging out with my colleagues. And so that could be going out to lunch or just hanging out at break time or after work. And so one of the things we did in our inventory is not only identify the languages that people like, but the specific actions and from whom they want it, so that we help people hit the mark. One of the things we know that one of the obstacles is busyness, you know, that people are busy. They have plenty to do. So we try to help make things very simple, practical, so that you can just do a little something different and it makes a difference versus wasting time and energy. Acts of service is largely doing small things that help make your colleague's day or week go better. And the best way to think about it is sort of the context when you're sort of at a time deadline, you got some project or something coming up that you, an event that you're working on, that it's got to get stuff done, and you're just, you're really working hard to make it happen. What's something somebody could do that would help make that go easier? I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, bringing in lunch for you so that you can, you know, keep working through lunch. It could be sort of managing your incoming calls for an hour or so that you can, you know, focus on getting this project done. And actually, the most common act of service request that we found in the general workplace is help get my computer to work right. I was speaking to Microsoft managers, and they started to boo me about that. But I said, no, it's true. I mean, you know, whether the certain program doesn't work or whatever. So you may not be able to fix it, but you may be able to facilitate getting, you know, the computer guy, the IT person to help you out. And then you're laughing about that, Neil. There must be some.
Well, it's just, yeah, that is not my gift. And, you know, yeah, we end up just sort of, you end up working around or put stuff off because you say, well, I can't quite figure out how to do that. And, yeah, it's sort of an ongoing. And,
right.
And of course, the, you know, the IT folks are great, but they've got plenty to do. And so they get to you when they get to you.
And that's actually part of our appreciation at work model is that this works across departments. Mm-hmm. What's a department you want to make sure you're on the good side of?
Yeah.
IT, you know, and also maybe human resources for payroll and maybe facilities if something breaks, you know. And so what's cool is this can work across the organization, and it's not top down. So a person who is a receptionist or who's an assistant in a certain department, they can communicate appreciation at a personal level to somebody else who's helped, you know, solve a problem or whatever. So it's not this top-down kind of management approach.
So we talked about words of appreciation, quality time, acts of services, a couple of more.
Yep. Yeah, tangible gifts. Like I said, it's not bonuses. It's not raises. It's basically small things that help show that you're getting to know the other person and what they like. So you have a guess about what the most common tangible gift is in the workplace?
I'm thinking probably not the keychain, but the gift card maybe. Huh?
That's second.
Okay.
The first one is food. You know, so you find out what somebody's favorite coffee is and you maybe bring that in for them. Or if you're ordering pizza, you know, find out, make sure you know what kind of pizza they like. And it can be, you know, chocolate is always good. But it can be small things as well. But it's less about the thing and the amount, but it's that they get to know you. So, like, we do chocolate at my office, and I have one colleague who likes dark chocolate, you know, and so we make sure she gets the dark chocolate, you know. And it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal because it's that you're paying attention to who they are, and you want to make sure that they feel like, hey, I'm paying attention to what you like. Mm. And then the last one is physical touch. And like I mentioned, it's not group hugs and it actually differs regionally. You know, I lived in the South for a while, and they do side hugs and that kind of stuff. In the upper Midwest, it's mainly, you know, a high five, a fist bump, maybe a congratulatory handshake. In the Northeast, it's sort of looking across the room and saying, hey, and nodding your head. I mean, that's about as close as you get. But again, it's you know, being able to celebrate together. And for some people, that's really important. I had a leader tell me he grew up playing sports, and he, you know, they did the high fives and all that, and he missed that in the workplace. So it's cool when you can find out what the other person like. And they light up. I mean, I just recently, one of my assistants had her anniversary, and her colleagues actually brought in her favorite iced coffee kind of thing, and she just was all bubbly about it because they found out that that's what she liked and did that for her.